Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. This morning we are going to continue the study that we started last week, which we titled The Name of the Lord, the Name of Jehovah. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. If you have it, what if you say amen, and then we could read it together as a family. Amen. Amen. This is what Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah, is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Another version translates it this way. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. This verse here in Proverbs 18:10, it really serves as a great source of peace for the people of God. As you all know, life is not easy. How many could say amen to that? Life is filled with many trials, with many troubles, with many pains. But in the midst of all that, the name of the Lord, it serves as a place of safety for God's people. And God desires all his people to run to his name, to find safety, to find refuge in him during times of trial and during times of tribulation. If you recall, last week as we started this study, we learned that in biblical times, the name of an individual carried so much more meaning and depth than maybe a name does today in our Western culture. Really, through the name, you learn something about the character, about the nature, about the work of an individual. And last week we learned that the name Jehovah, it really finds its roots in the Hebrew verb, which means to be, to be. And so the name, it really carries the idea, the name of Jehovah, of the becoming one. That God is the becoming one, or we even like to say the self-existent one. And so when God reveals himself as Jehovah to his people, really what he's saying is he wants to become, or he wants to be, everything in their life. And that's why the name of Jehovah is a strong tower, because God desires to be everything to us. And that's why we can run to him. That's why we can go to him, because he wants to be what we need. He wants to be everything. Everything God desires to be in your life. You know, no, God, he's the only one who can satisfy the longing of the human heart. God has built us, God has created us in such a way that we have eternity in our hearts. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 tells us that God has constructed us, built us in such a way that we have a longing for eternity. We have a longing for the supernatural. And the truth is, nothing in this world could satisfy that longing other than God. Only Jehovah can satisfy and fill the void in your heart. Only God. No, people say, well, maybe if I make enough money, or maybe if I have enough relationships, or maybe if I make enough success in work or at school, maybe this longing will be filled. And it might cover it for a while, but the hole is still there because only God can fill that hole, because that's his nature. He's the becoming one, and he wants to become everything or anything we can possibly need or desire. Listen to this, family. God is enough. God is enough. Now you might be saying, well, what is he enough for? Everything. God is enough. God is enough. You don't need anything else. You don't need anyone else. If you got God, you got everything. If you got God dwelling inside of your heart through his Holy Spirit, you're cool. You're good, as we say. You know, you're taken care of. You're set. God is enough, and he wants to be everything in our lives. Now, throughout the Old Testament, you know, really God, every once in a while, scattered throughout the Old Testament, he really reveals to us by his name Jehovah what exactly he desires to be in our life. And we find the name Jehovah used in what we call compound forms. Really what that means is we find the name Jehovah connected with another word, a compound word. And really through it, God shows us, God reveals to us what he desires to be in our life. It's a way that God wants to relate to us, a way that God wants to be there for us, a work God wants to perform in our lives. You know, I think God understands that it's human nature for us to ask questions. And so when God reveals himself as the great I am, as Jehovah, Yahweh, and we begin to understand that it finds its roots in the Hebrew verb to be, I think God understands that we would have the question, okay, God, what do you want to be in my life? What do you want to be? How do you want to relate? How do you want to meet my needs? And so God, understanding that, he's kind of given us a little more revelation, and he's revealed himself through his name in compound form to show us, to teach us what exactly he wants to be. And he wants us to understand why his name is a strong tower and why we can run to him and find safety and refuge in the midst of trial and tribulation. And so last week we began our study by looking at a few ways that God has revealed himself in the scriptures by the name Jehovah. And we first looked at how God in Genesis chapter 22 verse 14, as that he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will provide. And so the first thing we learned is that God desires to be our provider. God desires to bring provision to our life. Now you can put physical provision, material provision, but most importantly, the context teaches us that he wants to provide spiritual provision. God wants to provide salvation to us. He wants to be our savior. Because whether you knew it or not, without Christ, you're spiritually bankrupt. You are poor spiritually without Christ. You know, the Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. You on your best day, now don't get mad at me when I say this, because this is the word of God. Take it up with God. You know, but like Lecrae said, if we would fight for our rights, we would be in hell tonight. So you got to make sure that if you take it up with God, to understand you're not going to win. God is absolutely perfect and holy. And if you want to fight for your rights, if you want to argue, then you deserve to be in hell tonight. And so the Bible teaches us that on our best day, our righteousness is filthy rags. We were bankrupt. We're poor, poverty stricken when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to meeting the righteous standard of God. And so first and foremost, God reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh. He wants to provide. And one of the main things he wants to provide is not a new Corvette or a new car. He wants to provide salvation. He wants you to get right with him. And he provided the sacrifice to make that possible. He wants to provide forgiveness. He wants to provide justification, righteousness. He wants to provide eternal life, because he is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Man, this is just like the introduction, you know. We haven't even got into our study yet. You guys are like, man, Adam, I'm ready for the altar call. Just kidding. But the second way we saw that he has revealed himself to us through his name is by Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah heals. So God not only desires to be our provider, but he also desires to be our healer. And we all need healing. We all need healing, family. Whether it's physical healing, whether it's emotional, mental healing, and most importantly, spiritual healing. Because we're sick in sin. And only the great physician, only Jehovah Rapha, the Lord Jesus Christ, can bring healing to our spirit, to our soul, to our heart. Because all of us got heart disease. And you might be saying, I don't have heart disease. It doesn't run in my family. It does. You got it from your great, 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 great grandpa, Adam and Eve. Heart disease. Totally depraved before God. But Jesus is the only doctor, the only physician that can heal us from heart disease. And he does it by giving us a new heart and by cleansing and washing us with his precious blood. Because he's Jehovah Rapha. That's part of his nature. That's just what he does. He desires to heal. And so last week we looked at these ways that God has revealed himself through his name. And this morning, we're going to look at a few more ways that God has revealed himself. And as we look at these ways, as we look at these names, these compound forms, my desire is that we would just understand a little more why the name of Jehovah is a strong tower. That we would just understand why God is all we need. That you could leave this morning understanding that God is all you need. Jesus Christ is all you need. And if you don't have him, if you don't know him, if you're not serving him and submitted to him, you have nothing. This morning, you have nothing. And if you have him, this morning, you have everything. Amen. So let's look at some of these other compound forms of Jehovah. And let's just learn about the name of God. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. And we're going to look at the third way God has revealed himself to us by his personal name in the scriptures. Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. Exodus 17, verse 15. And this is what it says. And Moses built an altar and called its name, Jehovah is my banner. Moses built an altar and called his name, Jehovah is my banner. And so the third way we see that God has revealed himself to us by his personal name is Jehovah Nissi, which means Jehovah is my banner. So the third thing we want to look at is this. What does God desire to be in our life? God desires to be our banner. God wants to be our banner. God desires to bring victory and triumph to our lives every day. Look at what Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31 says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. The horse is ready, is prepared for the day of battle. The army gets ready, the soldiers get ready, but ultimately victory belongs to the Lord. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner, and he wants to bring victory to our life. You know, life is filled with many battles. How many can say amen to that? Battles at work, battles at school, battles at home, amongst the family. It's filled with many battles, many fights, many challenges, and victory, it's only found in Jehovah Nissi. Victory is only found in God, for he is our banner. Let me help you understand this name a little better. In ancient times, the banner was a very important military tool for armies. Armies would use banners during their military campaigns. When they would go out to war, they would always take their banners with them. And really, the purpose of the banner was this. A soldier or a group of soldiers would be assigned to them, and they were placed in front of the army. And when the commander gave the signal, they really waved the banner around, and that banner was a signal for the entire army to gather together and to attack the enemy. It was through the banner the commanders would communicate to their army, and they would let them know the time has come to gather together, and the time has come to go to war and to attack the enemy. But the banner always went in the front. You know, there's an expression that the armies would march behind their banner. The banner was such an important instrument in ancient militaries. And so with that understood, when God reveals himself as Jehovah Nissi, he is really telling his people that he desires to be our military banner. There's a war context, a war meaning behind it. God desires that we gather around him as his people, and that we allow him to lead us to victory over our enemies. He's Jehovah Nissi, and he wants us to gather around him and allow him to lead us out to victory over our enemies. Because as a Christian, we have many enemies. Amen. No man. If you say no to that, then I don't think you're a Christian. Straight up. Because as a Christian, you have enemies. You have Satan. You have his army, demons. You got this world system. You got the flesh, the old man. We have enemies. And we fight many battles as believers day after day It's a battle. It's a battleground, the Christian walk. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord, and every day we find ourselves in a battle. You know, maybe this morning you're fighting a battle. Maybe this morning you've come, and maybe you're waging war with something or someone. Maybe you find yourself going through a hostile time, a time of warfare, a time of spiritual battle. And we have many enemies, and we fight many wars. And unless we allow Jehovah to be our banner, and unless we gather around him, and unless we allow him to lead us to victory, we're going to be defeated. We're going to be conquered. We're not going to make it. Listen, family, unless you gather around God, unless you gather around the Lord Jesus every day and allow him to fight your battles, you will not make it. You're not going to make it. It's too tough. It's too hard. You lack the ability. You lack the power. It's only in God that victory is found. It's only in Jehovah Nissi. It's only in Jehovah our banner that victory is found for the people of God. And all you have to do is gather around him. That's all you have to do. All you have to do is run to him. Allow him to be your banner. Allow him to fight your battles for you. This morning, allow God to be your banner. By faith, rally around him. Gather around God. Gather around the Lord Jesus Christ. Gather around the cross. Because as a believer in the church age that we find ourselves in, it's the cross of Christ that's our banner. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is our commander in chief. And all we have to do is gather around Jesus. And all we have to do is gather around the cross and trust in our captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us the victory. You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 37, he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I think when Paul was saying that, I'm sure, you know, he was kind of bragging a little bit. Because remember, he was writing to the Romans. In the Rome, all their pride was in power, in their glory, in their army. They used to refer to it as the Roman machine. They were like machines, the Romans. Everywhere they went, they just crushed their enemies. And they really had this mentality, if our army is fighting for us, who can stand against us? And Paul, writing to the Romans, he said, don't put your trust in an army. Put your trust in God. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then in verse 37, he adds, yes, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If God is for us, who can be against us? If Jesus Christ is fighting our battles for us, who can contend against us? How could we lose? How could you lose with Jesus fighting for you? Family, you can't, because he's the undefeated champ. He's the champ of all champions. He's the commander of all commanders. He's the head chief, the general, the commander of the Lord's armies. And he don't lose. He don't lose. Jesus brings the victory. And this morning, if you're battling, if you're struggling, if you're walking in defeat, all you have to do by faith is rally around Jesus. Gather to his cross. Find your victory in Jesus. Be victorious in Christ, in Jesus, in his cross and what he did on Calvary. Be victorious in Jesus. You don't have to live a defeated life. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll talk to Christians, to the family, and right away I see on their face that they're defeated. They're walking a defeated walk. There's no victory in their walk. There's no triumph. There's no joy. And I think to myself, what's wrong? What's going on? Haven't you heard? Jesus prevailed. Jesus paid it all. Jesus has already won the victory. The battle is already won. The war is already won. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, when he died for the sins of the world, he crushed Satan. He crushed every demon. He crushed every struggle. Everything that's against us, he crushed it on the cross as he was getting crushed. And then he rose again in victory. And now through the resurrected Christ, we have the victory. Be victorious in Jesus. What you struggling with, what you battling with, take it to the cross. Find your victory. Find your freedom. Find your power in Christ. And be victorious. Walk around with your head lifted high. In Christ. I'm not talking about just you. You know, because really, without Christ, well, we're all defeated. We're all losers. Straight up. You're not going to win nothing without Jesus. Satan's too powerful. His demons are too crafty, too sneaky. Your flesh is too strong. It's overwhelming. But in Christ, you always win. In Christ, you have the victory over any struggle, over any temptation, over any, you know, emotional battle. You have the victory, and the victory is found in Jehovah Nissi, because he is our banner. You know, one of my favorite movies, and you're going to have to forgive me on this if you don't like this movie, but one of my favorite movies is Gladiator. I love the movie Gladiator. I'm very interested in Roman culture, Roman history, and I love that movie. I try to watch that movie as much as I can. You know, I got to record it on my DVR, you know, so I'll pop it in. The TV version, you know, because you got to honor the Lord. I got the TV version. But I love the movie Gladiator. And one of my favorite parts of the movie is the battle scene that takes place in the Colosseum there in Rome. That first time that Maximus is taken to Rome, and that first battle scene in the Colosseum is my favorite part of the movie. And sometimes I'll put the movie on, I'll forward it to that battle scene, and once it's over, I'll turn it off. My wife will be like, what are you doing? Well, I just watched Gladiator, you know. I love that battle scene. And really, in that battle scene, you can learn so much. And I'm not going to, like, get all spiritual with it like some people do. Like, oh, that represents Jesus, and that represents the Holy Spirit. And that's, you know, I don't know if I'm going to take it to that degree. But the Lord spoke to me. And in that battle scene, what happens is, against all odds, Maximus, General Maximus, he leads his fellow gladiators, who are slaves also, to victory against their enemies in the Colosseum. Maximus is placed with a handful of slaves in this Colosseum. They have no armor. They just have a shield and a spear. And their enemies come out to battle them. And the enemies have horses. They have chariots. They have bow and arrows, superior armor, superior weapons. They have everything. Maximus and his man have nothing. But as you watch this battle scene, it doesn't even matter that the enemies are so powerful, so quick, so strong, because the gladiators, the slaves, they had one thing that their enemies didn't have. They had Maximus. They had General Maximus. And right when they're about to do battle, there's Maximus in the center of these men. And all the men are fearful because they know they're going to die. It's an impossibility for them to win. They have nothing. The enemies have everything. And there's Maximus. And the first thing he tells them is, how many of you have served in the army? And he begins to give them orders and he begins to instruct them. And all the slaves rally around Maximus. They gather around Maximus. They allowed Maximus to lead them. And you know what Maximus does? He leads them to victory. Against all odds, they should have died. And that's really why they were placed in the Colosseum, to die, to entertain the people. No one expected them to win, but little did they know that they had Maximus. They had, you might say, a leader, a general, their banner. And they rallied around General Maximus, and he led them to victory. And every time I watch that movie, every time I watch that scene, the Lord speaks to me and he says, Adam, you serve one greater than Maximus. You serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you find yourself in a Colosseum that we call life, a Colosseum that we call the world system. And we're surrounded by enemies. And the enemies are stronger. They're more powerful. They're more equipped. And that's our situation. In the Colosseum of life, surrounded by enemies who are out to kill us. But in that Colosseum is our Maximus, our King, our General, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we gather around him, as we every day allow him to lead us, he will bring the victory. He will bring the victory. Understand that. Well, what are you going through? What are you battling with? The Lord Jesus can bring the victory. All you have to do is gather around him by faith. All you have to do is go to Jesus. Seek out Jesus. Go to Calvary. Seek out the cross. Seek out what the Lord accomplished. Find your victory in Christ. Because against all odds, he will bring the victory. Because he's Jehovah Nissi. He's a mighty warrior. You know, Jesus, he gets a bad rap in our culture today. Because every time you see Jesus, he looks more like a she than a he. You know, there he is with his nice hair, with his nice blue eyes, you know, with his nice skin, all soft, all nice. And every time I see a picture, I get so mad. Because I think to myself, that's not my Savior. That's not my King. That's a fraud. Because my Savior is a mighty warrior. He's a mighty warrior. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. My Savior is the commander of the Lord's army. And he brings the victory. He's not weak. He's strong. He's mighty to save. Jesus is mighty to save. What do you need saving from? What are you struggling with? Who are you battling with? Jesus is mighty to save. He's our banner. And all we do is we allow him to lead. We allow him to go before us and we just follow him. And he fights our battles. And he brings victory. He's the champion, the undefeated champion. You know, John tells us there in Revelations chapter 19, verse 14, that when Jesus returns during his second coming, when the king returns to set up his kingdom, John tells us that all the armies of heaven are following him, are behind him, riding in white horses. And the armies of heaven, you know, possibly could be a reference to the angelic realm. But the truth is, many believe, including myself, that the proper interpretation is that it represents the saints. It represents the church, you and me. And I believe Jude, verse 14 and 15, confirms that. And so the king returns, and he returns with the armies of heaven, the church, the saints, you and me. And John tells us something so interesting that so many people miss, I think, when they read it. That the armies of heaven, as they follow Christ, as they're coming back with him in white horses, that they're wearing fine linen, fine and white. And when you think about that, you might not think of it as nothing much if you read it fast. But if you take the time and if you meditate on it, it's so profound. Because he says, armies in heaven wearing fine linen. When have you ever seen an army marching out to battle wearing pajamas? When have you seen that? I don't know about you, but everything I read and everything I've seen, they always have armor on. They always have shields. They always have helmets. They're not wearing their pajamas. They're not wearing just a linen cloth. So what is John trying to teach us? That the armies of heaven, their armor is fine linen. Well, I think it's talking about the righteousness of the saints. But I think also what John wants us to understand is that when we come back, we're not going to do no fighting. Jesus is going to take care of all the fighting. We just follow him. He's just leading us out to war, and he brings the victory. Not us. We're just spectators. We're just watching it from the stands as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords crushes his enemies with one word. And the enemies are all the armies of the world, and the king crushes them with one word. And we're just kind of like in the back, rooting them on. Go, Jesus. You got this. My King, my Savior, my Lord, truly you are our banner. And he wants to be your banner. What does God want to be? What does Jehovah want to be in your life? He wants to be your banner. He wants to fight your battles for you. He wants to bring the victory in your life, in your marriage, at your home, at your school, at your work. He wants to bring victory because he is Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner. Amen. Let's look at one more. And we're going to end with this. And I'm going to even ask Jonah in a little bit to start making preparations to come up. Leviticus 20. If you can turn with me to Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20. Let's look at another way that God wants to relate to his people and another way he wants to do a work in our life. Leviticus 20, verse 8. Leviticus 20, verse 8. This is what we read. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am Jehovah who sanctifies you. I am Jehovah who sanctifies you. And so the fourth way that God has revealed himself to us by his personal name is by Jehovah Mekadesh. Jehovah Mekadesh, that simply means Jehovah who sanctifies. God desires to be our sanctifier. What does that mean? Simply this: God desires to make us more like his son every day. God desires to conform us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the word sanctify, or the word sanctification, it simply carries the idea of being set apart. And that's really the work God desires to accomplish in our lives as Christians. God wants to set us apart. Now, if you're like me, you ask questions and you're probably saying, what does he want to set me apart from? He wants to set us apart from sin. He wants to set us apart from the flesh. He wants to set us apart from this world system. God desires to be our sanctifier. He wants to set us apart. He's called us to be holy and set apart, and God wants to fulfill this calling in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, this is what Peter says: but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what God tells his people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 7, we read, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. What's God's will for our lives? What does God want from us? Sanctification. And then Paul says, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. That's the calling. God has called us to be holy. Listen to this, family. This morning, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and only you and God know the answer to that question, I cannot assume that everyone in here is a believer. I can't assume that. Only you know, only God knows whether or not you're born again by the Spirit of God. But if you claim to be a follower, and if you are indeed, you have a holy calling upon your life. God has called you to be holy. God has called you to live a life of integrity. God has called you to be set apart. That's the calling. That's the calling. That's the cost of following Christ. It's a holy calling. You know, many people today, they profess to be followers of Christ. They profess to have a relationship with Christ. And they profess it with their mouths. Everywhere you go, they're claiming to follow Christ. They're talking the right vocabulary. They're dressing the right way, you might say. Outward appearance, it looks like they're following Christ. But the truth is, everyday living with their lives, they're denying Christ. They claim to be a Christian with their mouths, but with their lives, they're denying Christ. At work, they're denying Christ. At home, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, they're denying Christ. At school, they're denying Christ. They claim to follow Christ on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, they're denying Christ. And you know what the book of James teaches us? That faith without works is dead. It's dead. All those confessions, all those professions that you're following Christ, if it's not backed up by good works, if it's not followed by holy everyday living, it's useless. It's dead. It's unprofitable. And that's not me saying that. That's the word of God. That's the scriptures. Faith without works is dead. It's dead. As a follower of Christ, if we claim to have saving faith in Jesus Christ, it's going to be demonstrated, it's going to be backed up by good works. We're going to pursue holiness. We're going to pursue righteousness. We're going to pursue integrity every day. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect? No, of course not. There's only one who is perfect, and that is not you, and that is not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But it does mean that we're going to pursue holiness. It does mean that we're going to seek to be set apart. That we're going to pursue integrity every day. And this is the beautiful thing about it. I'm going to ask my brother Jonah to start making his way up. This is the beautiful thing about it. God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, he's the one who does the sanctifying work in our lives. And that's what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 tells us, that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings the sanctification. He's the one that molds us, that shapes us, and that brings us to the place where we need to be. Listen, I know that all of us in here, we struggle with sin. And if you say, I don't, you're struggling with the sin of lying. Amen? All of us have our struggles as believers. If you're not a believer, your whole life is a struggle. But as a believer, we all have our struggles. We all fall short. We all fail. We all stumble. But listen to this. God, the Holy Spirit, Jehovah Mekadesh, he is our sanctifier. And he wants to help us. He wants to help us. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to bring us to the place where we need to be. And all we have to do is allow him. All we have to do is run to the name of Jehovah. All we have to do is run to the name of Jehovah Mekadesh. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm battling. I'm fighting this temptation. I'm fighting this struggle, Lord. I continuously fail you, Lord. I continuously stumble and fall with my character, with my language, with my thoughts, with my actions. Lord, I'm struggling. And all God says, run to me. I'm Jehovah Mekadesh. I want to sanctify you. I want to set you apart. I want to perfect my work in your life. I want to transform you. I want to change you. My grace is sufficient. My power is enough. What are you struggling with? What's your battles, family? What's your battles? Do you struggle with your mouth at work? Do you struggle with your mind? Do you struggle with your character? Are you always blowing up at the house? Are you impatient to your children? What's up, young people? What's your struggles? Young brother, do you struggle with lust? Young sister, do you struggle with your emotions, depressions, gossip? What's your struggle? God wants to help. He wants to change. He wants to transform. He doesn't expect you to do it on your own. He wants to do it for you. He wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to bring you to the place where you need to be as a Christian. All you have to do is ask him for help. All you have to do is run to the name of Jehovah, because it is a strong tower. He's our banner. He brings victory. He brings triumph. There's no need to be defeated. There's no need to be down or depressed. Jesus brings victory. And he is our sanctifier. He wants to set us apart. And he wants to make us more like Jesus. And now you know a little better why the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run to it and are safe. Next week we'll come back and hopefully you all join us. And we'll look at a few more ways that God has revealed to us what he desires to be in our life. Let's stand. And as the brothers and sisters start coming up to prepare for communion,